This is Biz. I'm a stay-at-home mom with a toddler son and a daughter who's a full-blown kid.
And I'm Teresa, a part-time working mom with two little boys.
This is a show about life after giving life. Don't listen with your kids, because there will be swears. This is One Bad Mother. This week on One Bad Mother, 2-year-olds are emotional, aren't they? Plus, Biz is stuck on a Band-Aid, and Teresa lays it on thick with sunscreen.
Woo!
Hi, Teresa.
Hi, Biz. Welcome back.
Thank you. I was in Alabama for a while.
How was that?
It was really good.
Oh, my God.
Overall, it was really good.
That's
but I'll save that. I want to know how you are because I haven't seen you. And we're back here.
I'm fine. I mean, it's summer, which is just, it just means sunscreen, which is like actually probably inaccurate because we live in LA and it's sunny like most of the year.
Yeah.
And my kids and I should probably be wearing sunscreen
every day
anyhow. But no, summer is the only time I get around to that. And I like bought just like pounds of bottles of sunscreen so that I could just have them everywhere. Like they're in my kitchen, they're in my car, they're in my bag.
Just
the kids
in case.
Each have one at school. because we're all fair skinned and we all burn easily. And I just wish there was some better way. Like basically like my kid, so I use like the healthy sunscreen, you know, that's like zinc or whatever.
As opposed to the poison sunscreen.
Well, there is.
I know.
Total like poison sunscreen. So like, but we use the healthy one, which is like, there is a spray, but it doesn't like help. Like, it's not like an easy spray on. It's like gunky white and it's.
Well, also, it's gone after two applications, and I always feel like I've been gypped with the, like, spray on. I'm like, and I'm just like, now it's empty.
Okay, so there's issues with all of them. But, like, I still feel like when I was using the spray on, like, the mist, the spray was, like, a lot easier in a lot of ways. But
anyways, it's way easier.
So, like,
it's like the pouch of sunscreen.
It's totally the pouch of sunscreen. So, but now we use this, like, healthy stuff, which is, like, it, like, cakes on you, and it gets everywhere, and it's, like, it stays white, like, forever.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine. Like, that's fine. I'd rather have that.
That means it's working.
Yeah, it's great. But what's funny is, like, it's every day, like, at least once a day, okay? Because, like, I have to put sunscreen on them before they go to school, and I have to put sunscreen on them before we go do anything.
Right.
So we're doing this every single day.
Yeah.
And it doesn't ever get better.
No.
Like, it's one of those things where, like, you do it, and you do it, like, the first couple times, you're like, okay, it's a reminder, guys. Sunscreen's kind of annoying, but, like, it'll be good, and it covers your skin, blah, blah, blah.
You'll adapt.
Like, you think, like, after a couple days of this, like, we're gonna, like, be pros at getting the sunscreen on. No, not in my house. Every single day.
Is there screaming?
They're not like screaming, but they just make it really hard. Like, I'm doing gymnastics to
get the
sunscreen.
It's like putting sunscreen on a fish that's out of water.
Oh, completely.
Yeah.
Completely. So yeah, that's all. Everything's great. I love summer. I really, really love summer for real. But like sunscreen, I wish there was a better way.
Yeah, sunscreen is pretty brutal. Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm not even going to offer, like, I'm not even going to like share what we do with sunscreen, which is usually just forget it. And we are very fair. So enjoy future skin cancer children.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Summer.
Everyone makes choices.
Everyone makes choices, guys. Well, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. No. No problem. How are you?
I'm okay. Like I said, we've returned from Alabama. Those of you who remember last year's Alabama trip, not successful last year. My folks live in Alabama. I grew up in Alabama. I've been really wanting to take the kids to have like a chunk of time with my parents and with the South. Just have that exposure and all the good elements of that part of the country. And every part of the country's got their ups and downs, guys. It's not unique to the South, all right? We just have worse PR. So it went great. This time I was like, Stefan, we're going to shorten the trip and you're going to stay the whole time. Because last time he came for the beginning and the end. And then I was basically there for like 3 weeks with the kids and my folks. And Ella stopped sleeping last time and I went crazy. This time We narrowed it to about 10 days. Stefan was there the whole time. The kids adjusted to their sleep for the most part. Ellis wasn't terrified of my parents. So Yay. It was just overall, it felt like a real vacation. Like, there were moments we were like, this is what vacations are supposed to be. Like, we had those That's like glimpses awesome. Of like, yeah. look at us going out and doing stuff all day. Yeah. And like, it was really good. But what I really wanted to talk about at the beginning of the show was Band-Aids. Ellis may have a Band-Aid addiction. Okay, so like every day, guys. My finger. I need a Band-Aid for my finger. And then he goes to the Band-Aid drawer, which is accessible. Because whoever thought it needed to not be accessible.
Right. Yeah.
And then he takes a Band-Aid and he puts it. He can do the whole thing himself now. It's like a Band-Aid pro.
Yep.
And then as soon as it's on the finger, this finger hurts. Mm-hmm. And it's another Band-Aid. Mm-hmm. And then they'll come off. And then we repeat that like 6 times a day.
Oh, wow.
We're going through a lot of Band-Aids.
Uh-huh.
Now,
do you have like the cute Band-Aids?
Oh, we have like, of course we have cute Band-Aids.
Yeah, okay.
Of course we have cute Band-Aids, right. guys. I am a mom. It's the, it's my like successful Pinterest board action of the, of parenting.
Yep.
Cute Band-Aids.
That's an easy one.
That's my easy one.
It's just as easy to buy cute Band-Aids as it is to buy boring Band-Aids.
That's correct.
Go on.
Makes me feel like a super mom. Uh-huh. Somebody give me a spread in Parent Magazine. Okay. Every day, we're going through a lot of Band-Aids,
uh-huh.
and rational biz. Like, there's a mix of rational biz and even like biz talking to a mom friend who's having a problem with Band-Aids,
uh-huh.
or like even pre-kid sure. biz.
Yeah.
That biz says things like, who gives a shit?
Mm-hmm.
Let your kid use as many fucking they're fucking Band-Aids, mm-hmm. right? When
yeah.
you run out of Band-Aids, you'll be out of Band-Aids.
Yeah.
You still have the boring ones for just in case real Band-Aid emergencies, right?
Yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah.
Then there's irrational, been parenting for 6 years and has the shell of the woman that she once was, biz, who's like, you are not going to have any more fucking Band-Aids. And it's angry and stuff. Like, both of us are like, no, you can't have any more Band-Aids ever. Like, it's like, no, oh, if you use all the Band-Aids, we're not going to have anything left when you really need Band-Aids.
Yeah.
Which is an argument that no 2-year-old fucking
two-year-old
understands.
That, yeah.
Right. They don't understand anything. So, crazy biz doesn't want to give him any more Band-Aids. And I can, in mid saying things like, no more Band-Aids.
Mm-hmm.
And then on comes the tantrum is
mm-hmm.
starting,
mm-hmm.
And I immediately, all right, only one. Do you understand? It's just the one Band-Aid.
Mm-hmm.
No more after this. All of that, I realize, like there's like one of those like scenes like where like there's like in a movie where there's been like an accident or somebody's making a bad choice and everything like slows down and they think to themselves. That's where I'm like slowing down. I'm like, am I just turning this into a irrational power struggle? Mm-hmm. This is so about power and control. No. Mm-hmm. I am the mother. I am the adult.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to give you any of these fucking Band-Aids.
And
it's irrational. It's not important in the grand scheme of life.
Mm-hmm.
But in the moment of my day, it feels like it's the only battle I can win.
Mm.
And what's worse is I don't win. And that kid's walking around with Band-Aids
mm-hmm.
all over his body.
Mm.
So that's it.
Yeah.
There's nothing to this.
No, there's nothing to do.
There's nothing to do.
Yeah.
I know the answer is to let it the fuck go.
Uh-huh.
And go on Amazon or go to Costco or whatever
mm-hmm.
and go buy a shit ton of Band-Aids.
Mm-hmm.
If Teresa was sitting here telling me the story, I'd be like, give your kid the fucking Band-Aid. And have some peace in your house. Like, is that going to stop a tantrum?
Mm-hmm.
Giving that kid a Band-Aid?
Mm-hmm.
Do it. And then that is one of the reasons. Because it will help avoid
uh-huh.
one of the things we're going to talk about today
uh-huh.
in terms of our 2.5-year-olds being slightly highly emotional animals.
please take a moment to remember, if you're friends of the hosts of One Bad Mother, you should assume that when we talk about other moms, we're talking about you.
If you are married to the host of One Bad Mother, we definitely are talking about you.
Nothing we say constitutes professional parenting advice.
Biz and Teresa's children are brilliant, lovely, and exceedingly extraordinary.
Nothing said on this podcast about them implies otherwise.
Teresa.
Yes.
Fun fact. 2-year-olds are emotional.
That sounds really true.
Is that helpful?
It's really, it sounds really accurate.
It is. Yeah. It's a parenting fact.
Yeah.
I would love a book that's just like, kids are super emotional.
Yeah.
Chapter 3.
Yeah.
There's nothing you can do to fix this.
Yeah.
Chapter 4.
It's kind of like our, like, kids are messy.
Yeah.
Kids are loud.
Yeah. That glitter's a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we want to talk today about two of the ways that our kids express their emotions. Mm-hmm. One is clinginess and one is tantrums. But before we got started, I wanted to say, we're going to be very specific, I guess, because both of our kids, Oscar for Teresa and Ellis for me, our youngest children, are both 2.5, I mean, separated by a month. They're like right in there, right in the middle of the twos. I can barely remember what my actual 24-month-old was like, right? The actual 2-year-old.
When,
like,
just
right,
turned 2.
We just turned 2. I am already blocked it out. Uh-huh. I have no idea. What?
He probably wasn't emotional at all.
He was not emotional. He was perfect angel.
He was very rational.
I'm pretty sure I could go back and listen to all the shows since Ellis was born and safely say that my child is mellow, low-key, not emotional. And then whatever happens after this time in their life, like around 3,
mm-hmm.
I don't even know. Even though we have older children
mm-hmm.
who have gone through this.
Yes.
I can't even imagine what 3 is going to be like. So this is really about, like, where they are here in the middle of the twos.
Yep.
And this is going to be one of those things where we're going to talk about it. And you guys are going to be like, dude, solidarity. I totally relate. Or you're going to be like, what the fuck is wrong with your kids? And you guys are probably not doing a good job. Well, we'll see.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Let's find out.
Let's find out. Actually, let's stop. Don't tell us.
Don't let us know. Just keep that to yourself.
Talk amongst
yourselves.
That's right.
Don't tag us in that conversation on Facebook.
Oh, my God. What's wrong with Teresa and business kids? Just give them a fucking Band-Aid. So let's start with clinginess.
Mm-hmm.
I will just say, to start off,
mm-hmm.
that Ellis is going through an incredibly clingy time right now. And I like to say phase
mm-hmm.
or time
mm-hmm.
because that feels like I've put a label on it that suggests it will end.
It will, yeah.
Right. Not that it has since birth.
Right.
But it feels particularly strong right now.
Yeah.
What's Oscar like?
Well, I want to start by saying I say clingy. I use it all the time and I hate it every time I say it.
All right.
I would love for us to, like, find another way to describe what that is. Because
I feel like
it's negative. Like, it's negative in the way we talk about it. And there are some things that I feel negatively about this thing. But I don't think overall it's negative. Like, it's
sorry, I'm thinking of loving too much.
I know. It's like, it's attachment. It's like strong attachment. Or, like, I don't even want to say neediness, because I think that is
Those
a negative.
Are both.
Obviously, our kids are needy. They are our children. They need us to survive.
They are 2.5, guys.
And by definition, needy.
Yes.
You know, and that's not like a...
But we're talking about, like, the breakdown. If we're going to define mm-hmm. what it is they're doing, it seems to be physically attaching themselves to our bodies.
Yes.
Or at least for me.
Yeah.
Most of the day.
Yes.
No one else really being able to fill in.
Everyone
for
else gets totally dissed.
Yeah,
like
dissed.
Just
you go.
No,
Papa, get
no.
off the.
That's what Oscar gives to every single one of his teachers or Jesse.
Oh, really?
Like, if I'm right there, he just goes, when they approach. Like, Ellis, he's just like, get away from me. I'm with my mom.
Ellis goes, everybody, turn your volume down for a second. Ellis is like, no! No! Only mama! Which brings the room down real fast.
Yes.
And brings my blood pressure way up.
I know. Okay.
Okay, so let's call it loving.
It's
so for
yeah.
today, so we're gonna call it extra loving.
Extra loving.
They're
okay.
extra loving.
Yes.
So
we're also in an extra loving phase right now. Big time. Over in the Thorne household. Like we're working on that I'm not carrying him around on my hip all the time because he's now like 32 pounds.
Yeah.
And it hurts.
Yeah.
My back hurts from carrying him around all the time. Not all the time, but there are times where he just wants me to, for comfort, he wants me to, it's not okay for me to sit with him in my lap. He wants me to, like, be his vehicle. So I will, like, walk around the house with him.
Vroom,
like,
vroom, Oscar.
And he will, like, direct me where he wants to go. And it's, I'm done with that.
Can I ask you about that?
Yeah,
because that is the thing. I will have the moment.
Yeah.
This is a foreshadowing of a fail that's coming, guys.
Okay.
But we were on a very long walk.
Uh-huh.
And I was carrying him.
Yeah.
And the whole time I'm thinking, but like even on the big walks,
yeah.
I'm literally, guys, holding Ellis right now, Phantom Ellis. I'm like making
Phantom
the gesture.
Ellis on her head.
Or like around the house.
Yeah.
Or through the, whatever it is.
Yeah.
I have these moments where I'm like, am I failing him? Like, am I going to be one of those people that everybody's like, put him down.
Yeah,
he's never going to walk. But, and obviously he's going to walk. He walks just
right.
fine, guys.
Yeah.
You know, but like, is there, I feel that sudden judgment inside where like some voice from some parenting guide, from some grandmother, from some internet, from some New York Magazine article, like whatever, is telling me, you need to put your kid down, right? Like, I feel this like sudden guilt that I shouldn't be carrying him around so much.
I don't have that.
That I...
No, I'm serious. Dead serious. I have the opposite because I feel like I should be like using, like having him on me as much as he wants to be on me because there's times when I can't be there. And so this is like our time where we can be together and he just, because he's not like it that all day. So like the times that he wants to be like that, so what? I should just be able to hold him, but it hurts my body.
Yeah.
Like that's what finally helped me make the decision. I was like,
that's hurting.
Know that I need to do this for like my own physical health. And I know he's okay. Like what we do is we hold hands. We walk and hold hands.
Oh, that's nice.
And like there's plenty of times where that's satisfactory to him.
Yeah.
But like there's other times where it just makes him really sad. He just really wants to be held. But I just
See, maybe that's the difference because Ellis wants it literally 24 hours a day. I mean, like wherever we're out,
he just wants to be.
He
helped.
Just wants to be up, up, mama, up. I mean, like
you're doing a good job. He's not. It's you yourself would tell yourself,
yeah,
he's not going to be doing that when he's walking down the aisle.
Yeah, you're true.
You know,
here you go. Do, 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 do.
As funny as of a picture as
yuck,
that is,
guys. Barf. You know what? But, and part of the extra loving,
yes,
right, that comes with this is there one of the things that I dislike, speaking of like putting language to this, like calling it clinginess or neediness, is the whenever I am out and he's doing the massive snuggle or the massive lap sit or like a stranger walks past and he like jumps on my leg and like the whole nine yards. The first thing out of people's mouths are boys.
Oh.
If I heard that in the airport once, I heard it 100 times
oh
on this trip.
God, I'm so
boys.
Sorry.
It's boys and their mothers. And I dislike it. And I can't put my finger on why, because here's the thing. There is a big difference between my two children in terms of this. Katie Bell was way more independent, way more able to roll with changes, way more like not a lap kid, not a snuggler, not a hand. I mean, like none of that.
But who says that's because of her gender?
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Boys.
Right.
The older one.
Exactly.
Way less loving.
Yes, well, way less loving.
I don't want to put it that way.
Right, but like.
Way less clingy. Yeah.
But that's just it.
But yeah.
I have, and Ellis happens to be the one who wants it all the time.
Yeah.
But like, it makes me crazy that it's then labeled with this, like, and there's something about the way people say it that makes it sound like it just falls into that category of like, well, that's a girl toy. Like,
oh,
it falls into that tone of like, but your mothers, boys and their mothers. I don't know why it bothers me.
I'm totally with
you.
Not
that mothers and sons should not have a beautiful bond.
Right.
They should.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I'm not negating mother-son bonds.
No.
at all. I feel a strong bond with Ellis.
Yeah.
But there's something about...
Do you feel like when somebody says that, that is tied in with your, like, guilt that you should be doing something differently? Like, people are saying, like, it's something you're doing with him, treating him.
Why is there not a gun in his hand already?
I don't know. Like,
why isn't there a gun in his hand already?
Is that comment like mothers and their sons or boys and their mothers? Like, is that, does it make you feel like... do you know what I'm saying?
No, I know what you're saying.
There's something you're doing wrong.
I don't know what it's like. You know how like, there's like certain words that like bother you?
Yes. And
like, right? Like for me, one of the words that like really just makes a chill go down, like I just fucking is gross to me,
yeah,
is the word moist.
Right. A lot of people have that
apparently
one.
Moist. Yeah. So it's like whenever somebody says it, it's as if they just came up to me and were like, moist. And I'm like, why does it bother me? So that's just kind of separate, but it's one of those things that I wanted to share because it seems to be tied into Ellis's need to love me much. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like the loving much is stronger right now? Do you feel like this has gone through cycles? Do you feel like...
It definitely goes through cycles with him. But like it's... I feel like it always comes back around.
Yeah.
It's like that 2-week cycle or something.
Yeah.
You know, it's like 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off, 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off. There's no, no getting past it.
Yeah,
I don't
there's
know.
No getting like, past
it's just,
it.
And lots of times I can't put my finger on what it is.
Yeah.
Like a lot of times it could be, you know, we've talked about like travel throwing things off. A lot of times illness will throw something off. But a lot of times you can't tell that they're sick yet.
Right.
And so you don't, is he getting sick? I don't know. Or it's just impossible to know. Like, is it something that happened that I didn't notice? Or is it something that's going on developmentally for him? I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I know. See, again, Ellis has always been like super attached to me physically.
Yeah.
But I will say that right now, because of the travel, like it was like 3 days into the trip, everything just shifted.
Mm.
And it became like really hard for me to go out of the house, really hard for us to go anywhere. It makes me really nervous about us getting back into preschool this week when he starts on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Like lots of that. Even we
like any separation?
Any separation as well. So there's like a huge return of separation anxiety with it. Like if I'm in the bathroom again, like stuff we'd really worked through and we had gotten.
Yeah.
I love it. Stuff we'd really worked through. 90% of parenting is feeling really smug about something you worked through and then like, boom.
Yeah.
That's down the toilet. You have no control. like, we got home, and we were all settled back in, and, like, we got in Friday, and Saturday, I was going to go to the store to restock the house, and, like, he had a massive breakdown when I was leaving. Want to come with you? But, like, I needed to get through that store. We had a limited amount of time.
Yeah.
I had to do it by myself, and I wanted to do it by myself.
Yeah.
I at this stage, when this stuff starts to resurge this later in the game...
Yeah.
Your brain starts to say, no, you deserve to be able to go.
Yeah.
And I think about all the times I kind of give in where it's like, all right, fine, I'll change the day. All right, fine, I'll do the bed. All right, fine, I'll put them down. All the stuff that Stefan would normally step in and take over.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just like, to stop with the screaming, we'll do it. But then I went to the store and he apparently cried for like 30 more minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like old school.
Yeah.
It was really like this whole separation thing has kind of kicked back in. And I associate it some with the travel.
Yeah.
Things were so disruptive.
Sure.
So, and with Stefan, we just go back to the same reminder in situations like this where be present, be here.
Mm-hmm.
Think of the game that will help him transition to you. Don't, when we went through this with Katie Bell, it was a little less intense, but it was still only mama can come in or only mama can take me here or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Stefan would just like literally walk 5 feet behind us or ahead of us at times, you know, because she wouldn't hold his hand. And finally, we had to remind ourselves, no, that's not the solution.
Yeah.
Further isolating yourself or allowing this to be something, fair enough, it can make you feel bad if you're the person the kid doesn't want.
Mm-hmm.
But you're also the adult, so you have to say they're not intentionally trying to hurt my feelings.
Yeah.
And the way to fix this is to step up and continue to be as present as possible with a thick skin, because that's going to let the child know that you're also there and they can go to you. You know what I mean? So, like, we had to, like, really kind of bring those old games back up and those rules in for us. But I think what makes it so hard, and this is going to tie into the next thing that we're talking about with our highly emotional 2.5-year-olds, and that is if you don't pick them up, the tantrum's coming.
Mm-hmm.
And the tantrums, for Ellis are awful. Mm-hmm. And I know that I don't have the, like, I know that, like, I don't have, like, the corner on all tantrums.
Yeah, yeah.
But they are really intense. Uh-huh. And I want us to talk some about the tantrums. Because yeah. I feel like the whole picking up, the whole, like, extra love, mm-hmm. The reason I, like, allow a lot of the extra love, besides loving my child, but there are times I need to spend with Katie Bell. There are times that I need to, like, get stuff done, and I'll put that aside because I do not want the screaming. Or I will do it with a child on me because I do not want the tantrum mm-hmm. and the screaming and all that. So let's talk tantrums.
Yeah.
Are those fun in your house? Do you have tantrums? Do you know what a tantrum
is? Does anybody not have tantrums? Yeah, we have tantrums. I will say, I don't think ours are, like, really... It's not, like, my worst fear when it comes to Oscar. Like, okay. Oscar's tantrums are mostly just loud crying.
Okay.
He doesn't do a lot of, like... throwing himself on the floor, throwing things, or hitting, or punching, or, like, a lot of the things that I know are go hand in hand with yeah. tantrums for a lot of kids. So it's really just he's screaming and crying so loud.
Right.
It's really just, like, the decibel level yeah. that makes it hard for me. And obviously just, like, seeing him in pain is really hard.
Right.
That's what it's like in our house. How about you?
Nope. our house is... Katie Bell, again, transitioned with stuff really well. Like, so if you're like, we're going to stop with this, mm-hmm. really, like, 80% of the time, you just transitioned, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and then when she had a tantrum, they were really few and far between, and they were that. They were crying, and that was about it. Ellis is of the genre of, like, irrational tantrums, like... You don't even know sometimes why they're starting.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we totally have that.
Yeah.
There's no reason, then, like, rhyme yeah, or reason to the tantrums a lot. Yeah.
So a good example would be he wanted to use this little portable speaker. I was like, okay, but it's dead, so we're going to have to plug it into the wall. Mm-hmm. No, I want to use it in there. Okay, well, we can move this whole setup to the other room, but it's going to have to be plugged in. And then he lost his shit yeah. about it being plugged in, and before I could get over, he jerked it out of the wall. So it's like a whole charger end uh-huh. with the speaker on the other end, basically like a mace. Yeah. And he just, there's the screaming and the crying. And then he starts swinging it. Oh, and we're geez. In the kitchen and it's like hitting yeah. the glass, you know, door. Yeah. And yeah. it's swinging around to yeah. get him. I mean, like, it was like really dangerous. And there's screaming and yeah. there's loss of body
awful.
Control.
Yeah.
So I have to, like... get it out of his hand and get him. And I just do the thing where I just take him into the biggest room we have. And none yeah. of our rooms are big, but it's at yeah. least carpeted. And put him down.
Yeah.
And, like, step back. But and he's just flailing. And he's, like, looking to find something to hurt himself. Like,
right.
He's looking for a wall. He's yeah. looking for a chair. He's looking for something. And that makes it...
That's, like, scary.
It's super scary. Yeah. And it's super intense. And it's, like it's really hard... I am basically, for my notes for this, was tantrums. I am literally terrified of them. Mm. Like, it is like walking around in a house where I'm like, what can I do to avoid the set-off, for example?
Wow.
Give that kid some fucking Band-Aids, right? And because they come, we're just like at that phase where I have the older kid, it's summer, there is no break, and Ellis is so intense. So, like, I already feel like I'm fried before the tantrum starts. And then when it comes in, I'm going 0 to 60. But it is hard to sit there
yeah.
while this is happening.
It is.
And it's like, again, my mind goes through all the, was this worth it? Whatever I did.
Oh.
For the ones where I was like, I mean, obviously I can't control, I want to plug this in.
You can, yeah.
Right? I can't control,
yeah.
this is your dinner.
Right. Well, do you ever do, like, because I find myself constantly, because I'm not talking about my older child,
yeah.
Simon, who's 4 and a half.
Right.
But he still has tantrums yeah. all the time. I mean, he's 4 and a half. I mean, we're
right.
totally still in tantrum zone for him.
True.
But so we're more talking about, like, 2-year-olds.
Yeah.
But, like, with both my kids, I find myself, if they ask for something, doing that, like, mental calculus of, like, is it going to be worth it for me to say no to this? Can I say no to this right now? Do I want to say yes? Like, I have to do this whole, like, am I like bracing myself for what's coming next?
Right.
You know, how bad is it going to be? And like, I'm pretty good at like anticipating what it's going to be, but sometimes I'm wrong.
Yeah.
And then once you do it, like, it's over.
It's over.
It's happening. It's going to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, like,
yeah, I actually, yeah, I can handle the yes, no's. Like the basics, mm-hmm. I want a sandwich, I want to watch TV, mm-hmm. I want to dress up in this costume. Mm-hmm. The ones that make me, like, you know, jump at shadows are mm-hmm. the ones where you have no idea, mm-hmm. you know, let's go change your diaper.
Oh, yeah.
Freak right. the fuck out.
Right.
Yeah. Let's go put a shoe on. It's dinner. Yeah. Dinner has become a nightmare of 2.5-year-old pickiness combined with end of the day, no napping, combined with just, it is just fuel for the tantrum fire.
Wow.
It is just like, and just like, and that gets me to the thing of like, once you're in the tantrum or it's starting or it's elevating, I think the answer is once it starts elevating, just step back. You can't fix it, but I try, mm-hmm. which I think is a mistake, mm-hmm. because then you're, when I try, I feel like I'm turning into that parent who's like, here's another cupcake.
Right, I know.
You know, as opposed to like, you know, he doesn't want to eat the dinner that we've all agreed we're going to eat before I made the dinner. Yeah. And then he's like, no, want this.
Right.
Slam. And you're like, he's like, want yogurt. So I'm like, if I give him yogurt, am I somehow condoning this tantrum?
Yeah.
If I make him eat this clearly poison I've made for him, is he going to be in therapy for the rest of his life? Like, what's the battle here?
In that scenario, I'm always like, can you ask nicely for the answer?
Yeah,
I was like, okay, if you can ask nicely.
But, that's fair.
That's kind of fair. You know what, though? The thing about the offering, like, I know exactly what you're talking about. And I hate the idea. Like, I'm terrified of being that parent who's, like, dancing around their kid to, like, try to, like, tiptoeing around them to try to make everything okay, which you can't do.
You can't do.
And you just feel like an idiot.
Yeah.
But one thing I think that we need to remember is that, like, offering something to somebody who's not feeling well is, like, a natural and, I think, good human response. Like, I think it's totally okay to be like, do you want some water? Do you want some crackers? Are you not? Because, like, I feel like at least half the time when my kids are tantruming, it's like they're either, like, too hungry, too thirsty, or they're just, like, overwhelmed and tired or whatever, and, like, sitting there and just, like, kind of refueling a little bit can help them, even if they're not like specifically super hungry or whatever.
Right.
Just like offering something to someone is natural. Like if you came over to my house and you were like really upset, I would like offer you some coffee or offer you, you know, like it's, I think it is okay. Like at a certain, do you know what I mean?
No, that's interesting. It's a way of helping somebody take a time to collect themselves because do you know what toddlers don't like to hear? That they're tired or need to take a break.
Oh, God,
do you want to take a deep breath? Do you want to take a break?
Yeah.
Nanny, don't take a break! But you're right. To say something like, would you like a cookie? Would you like to do a dance? Not a cookie. Would you like a cracker?
Yeah.
Would you like to do a silly dance? Do you want to listen to music?
Yeah.
Is a way to calm them down. I think it's just like, it is, it's just so intense. And even if they're great when they're out in public, I always, again, go back to that idea of my house is haunted and everybody comes over and they're like, your house isn't haunted. And then they leave and the walls bleed and you're like, I'm losing my mind. Mm-hmm. Because like, even if they're great out, I'm so exhausted from all the tantrums that happened leading up or all the future tantrums I know we're going to have.
Right.
And it's so like, like, it's just
it wears on you.
It really wears on you. And then you get crazy. And I have these moments where I'm like, oh, if my house just looked more like this Pottery Barn picture, there would be less tantrums. Oh, if I had, you know, better food selection, there'd be less tantrums. Oh, if my kids, like all the like outside media around you, like starts to come in and really plays on me in a way that I know is not right. Mm. Oh, but I bet if I just painted their rooms, this would make everything better. Like, if I had just the right way to hold their toys in their room, like, that basket, it would be better. Like, they wouldn't have as many. They'd be happier children. And I think it's important, though, to remember that this is, like, in my head, I'm like, no, this is what they're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
But it's just, what a gross process.
It's so hard.
What a horrible thing for them to have to go through.
Oh, yeah, I know.
You know, like, it's really
awful. Totally.
And I hate, I think that's the crux of it.
Yeah.
Is I know this is so awful for Ellis to have to go through. And I know, like, he has to go through it.
Yeah.
And I hate that I feel like there's very little I can do to prevent him from having to go through this.
Mm-hmm.
And I struggle with the best way to support him through it, right? You know, because like right when you get in the moment, I can't remember any of the tools I'm supposed to have, right? I can't. And because I'm going 0 to 60 as well emotionally, I feel like I'm setting myself up for mistakes.
Yeah.
And then it's really hard for me to come back down. And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it is. So I feel like I'm not helping.
Yeah. Well, I think the main one is just to stay calm.
Yeah.
Like, that's the one you're supposed to do.
Right.
And, like, even if you're not calm inside, you could probably pretend to be calm on the outside.
Yeah.
But, like, I think that's the hardest one is, like, if it's just you and the kid, right? Or you and the kids. There's no other parent or adult there.
Right.
And they don't have a crib anymore. So
you can't
set them in the crib and walk away. Then it's hard for you to take the space to like drink some water and like, take some deep breaths and walk back, because you just described a whole scenario where actually Ellis needs you physically there preventing him from hurting himself or hurting somebody else. So there isn't very much like really for you to do other than like, I guess, practice that internal I'm going to be calm because that's the one thing I
can
do.
Dear God, make me a bird so I can fly far, far away.
Oh, God. Yeah. No, that's so tough.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't either.
Yeah. Maybe he'll stop having tantrums. Like
When he's three.
Yeah. Is three
like, some magical door where they suddenly.
Like, my memory of three with Simon is that it was such hell. Like, so much worse than two. But I know all kids are different.
Right,
so
that's
who knows?
Just it. Yeah.
Nobody knows what's
because,
going on.
Because Katie Bell was just breezed through two. I was like, why is everybody having a problem with two? Two's adorable. Let's go on as many trips as possible with two-year-olds. And then for her, three was like, no. Three was when she was like, no. And fuck you. In whatever words that translates to for a three-year-old. Well, great.
Yeah.
Good.
They're pretty amazing.
They are. They love more and they express themselves more.
They do.
Way to go, 2.5-year-olds.
Yeah, you guys are doing it, 2.5-year-olds.
You're getting really good at this.
Yeah. One Bad Mother is supported in part by Blue Apron. For less than $10 per meal, Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals.
I have found that with kids, the variety of things that I cook and the level of steps that I put into my cooking has gone way down. And even though I like to cook, it's a little spaghetti sauce in a jar, meatballs, and pasta sauce. I found it really great to have the step-by-step recipe sent to me with all the ingredients. All I got to do is all the choppy-choppy stuff I like to do, put it in adorable little bowls to make me feel like I have self-control, and then dump it and cook it. It is the best. And then out comes this beautiful meal, and it's a chance for us to all try something new and break up the monotony of cooking that even those of us who love to cook can find themselves falling into when you have kids.
So check out this week's menu and get your first 3 meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/badmother. That's blueapron.com/badmother.
Blue Apron, a better way to cook, even if you already like to cook.
Hey, you know what it's time for? This week's Genius and Fails. This is the part of the show where we share our genius moment of the week, as well as our failures, and feel better about ourselves by hearing yours. You can share some of your own by calling 206-350-9485. That's 206-350-9485.
Genius fail time, Teresa. Genius me.
Wow.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
I saw what you did.
Oh my God.
I'm paying attention.
Wow.
You, Mom, are a genius.
Oh my God. That's fucking genius.
Oscar had a teeny tiny splinter in his foot.
Oh.
And my genius moment is just that I got it out. Nice. But like, it was just such an amazing feeling. Like, it gave me this feeling of like, oh, I can do anything. Like, I can solve any problem. Because, you know, he's little and his foot is wiggly and he doesn't want to sit there and get a splinter removed. And it was like way in there and it was small.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know if I, because it was kind of like under the skin, you know, I had to, it was the kind of thing where like my dad would have used a needle, you know, to like get really get in there.
Yeah.
Like, and I wasn't going to do that.
No.
Especially because Oscar's so wiggly. And, but like I totally got it out and I was just like, this is like the best feeling ever.
Oh,
like,
good job.
I'm the best.
Yeah.
You know?
Way to be a parent to that child.
Yeah.
Good job.
Thank
Sabin.
You.
Next thing you know, you'll be like sewing up something that needs stitches.
Yeah.
Just be doing it yourself. Biting it off with your teeth. Yeah. Ah, yeah. That's fucking great. I've gotten really good at flights with the kids.
Ooh.
This is a whole day.
This is a superpower.
This is a whole day of traveling.
Okay.
I no longer like wrap the surprise things for them.
Okay.
We used to do that because that's a pain in the ass. They don't care. They just want something new. So like I just nailed the items that were going to be given to them.
Mm-hmm.
I nailed the prepping all the iPads with new stuff and movies. I nailed iPack a thing of food. I do like a couple. I bring a little cooler with it. It's like a soft bag cooler, and it's got a bunch of everything from like a little thing of fresh blueberries, tomatoes, cucumbers sliced up, peanut butter and jelly, like mozzarella tomato sandwiches for Stefan and I. That I was like, somebody gave me one once on a flight, like they were selling it to me, and I was like, I can fucking put mozzarella and tomato on a roll and wrap it up and put it in a bag, right? Like peanut butter cracker. I mean, like, so they're like, they were eating. It wasn't like all I'm eating is granola bars all day, and then you feel sick at the end of the flight.
Yeah.
And we didn't have to rely too heavy on airport food and stuff. It just, you know, we just nailed it. We just nailed that flight.
Good job.
Thank you.
I have a genius moment I would like to share. My kids are picky eaters, and what's even worse is they're lightweights. So a mom friend suggested this. We'll play this game when we eat. It's called Guess What Food I Just Ate. So we give them a selection of foods, some they love, some they tolerate, and some not so much. We close our eyes as the parents, and then the kids choose what they want to eat, and we have to guess. And the funny thing is, when I say, oh, I wonder what you just ate, the little guy usually already tells me what it is that he chose. But the main thing is that it works. They both eat foods, and shockingly, they eat the stuff that they don't love so much, and they're having fun with it. So hoping that it will help some moms with other picky eaters. And again, thanks for your show. Bye.
I love that.
It's I've been trying because I heard the call earlier. I actually started trying that with Ellis.
Yeah.
The trick may be that she has a 3-year-old. She's doing this. Because Ella, I'll be like, all right, I'm going to close my eyes.
Yeah.
You tell me what, you know, I'm going to guess what you ate.
Yeah.
But all he does is eat the same thing over again.
Oh.
So, and like, it'll always be like the hardest thing. So it's like, you close your eyes, crunch.
Yeah.
Is it the checks? It's the checks. Close your eyes. Okay, I'm going to close my eyes. Is crunch. Is it the checks? Is the checks. Close your eyes. Guess what I needed?
That's funny.
We at least get some stuff down, but it's hilarious. It's the same. It's a really great idea. We've totally started using it. Failures.
Fail. 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 Fail.
You suck.
Fail me, Teresa.
Okay. Well, last week I was taking Simon to karate after school, and I had Oscar with me as well, and we left school on time and we're driving over to karate, and Simon seemed great, but then like halfway to karate he started saying he wasn't feeling good and his stomach wasn't feeling good, and I was like, is this like a thing about him not wanting to go to karate right now, whatever. So I just like ignored him, and then we got there and he's like, I really don't feel good, I feel really sick. I'm like, we got to get your clothes on, come on, we're changing come on, we got to get your uniform on, come on, let's do it. And I'm physically like doing all the stuff. I know you guys think I dress my kid up every single day anyway, but it's not really like that. Like, usually he helps. But so I'm like physically like, he's like a dummy. Like, I'm like putting him in his outfit. I'm going like, he's going like, "Mommy, I'm too sick. I'm too sick. I'm too." I'm like, "You were fine at school a second ago. The teacher didn't tell me anything."
Yeah.
He's smiling, happy, whatever. I'm like, "Simon," and it was the first time going to this class on a Wednesday. We normally go on the weekends. And so I'm like, "Okay, this is one of those things.
Right.
It's on Wednesday now, so this he can't deal with it." Even though I know he loves karate, like there's something weird. So I'm like just plowing ahead, you know. "Do you want some dried mango like as a snack while I'm getting you dressed?" He declined the dried mango, and that was when I had my first inkling that something might be amiss.
Uh-huh.
But I still ignored that.
Right.
And I just plowed straight on ahead. I had Oscar with me. Oscar's complaining. I'm like getting everybody ready. Get Simon out of the car. We come around to Oscar's side. He's standing there complaining again. I'm like, "We're going in. Your class is starting right now. We're going in." I'm getting Oscar out. I get Oscar out. Simon sits down on the parking lot ground, like in between cars.
Yeah.
And I'm like, "He's sitting down. What the hell?" And then he's just like, "I'm going to throw up." And I was like, okay.
No, you're not. Get into karate.
Almost. Yeah. I almost did that. I said, "Go move to the curb. Go sit right there on the curb while I finish dealing with Oscar." And as he's turning around to go to the curb,
just
he
vomits.
Just like pukes everywhere all over the parking lot. And
poor
I was like, "Oh, you're right. You're sick. Let's go home. Here, I'll put you back in the car. Let's,
let's
get you home, sweetie. I'm so sorry." Oh. And I really did. I mean.
No, I know. I know.
I felt so bad, but I just did not see it coming.
I know.
And I really thought he was just doing a boy who cries wolf, you know?
I know.
So.
Oh, you're horrible.
I know.
I'm sorry that you are such a bad mother.
I'm so glad he didn't throw up in
karate. I know. I know. That's what I was thinking. Or on you. Both of those.
It was on me a little
bit. Okay.
Well,
right.
It got on me
on
while
me,
I was
yeah.
like helping. I mean, whatever. I'm always getting. You know what?
Who cares? Yeah. You can't have anything nice.
No.
Parenthood. You can't have anything nice. Okay. So we are doing vacation in Alabama.
Yeah.
We are just filling every day. Ellis didn't sleep it. Fuck it. Let's just get out, go adventuring, right?
Yeah.
So we are going to go to one of the places that everybody in Alabama goes to on a field trip. Called the Tannehill State Park. It is like this big ironworks, you know, monstrosity, did all the stuff in the Civil War, melting and smelting and all that stuff. Big historic site. They have like old-timey village and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So we go out there. It's hot as hell.
Mm-hmm.
We drive out, beautiful drive, get out there. We're going to go stomp around. We stomp around through the old, you know, settlement houses. We get out to the actual furnace. And then we're like, there's a beautiful little stream and we're going to cross this little bridge. And we cross the bridge and we come to a sign that says, it announces three trails. And there's this trail and it says it's like half a mile. And it's great. Let's just take this trail back. In my brain, it's just running straight along the little river, the little creek, and it's just going to cross us, dump us right back out just half a mile down the park.
Mm-hmm.
We start walking it, and I don't even think we're halfway through it when I'm like, this feels really long. Like, I no longer see the creek. And we pull out the map that we have that we discover later doesn't have trails on it, but I think I see what we're walking on because there's a bridge. There's like a little, I'm like, that's the bridge we went over. That's clearly, look, it's going to dump us out. It's not. We wind up walking that trail a lot longer than a half a mile. And when it dumps us out, it is on the way other side of the state park.
Oh, no.
I mean, it is a state park, guys. We get out and it's like, you're going to have to walk a whole nother mile back now.
Yeah.
And it's really clear on the map. So Katie Bell's complaining the whole time.
Yeah.
Ellis has to be carried only by me. Or it's the flailing tantrum.
Right.
So I carried that child, as well as the emotional weight of Katie Bell's whining. Stefan was really good. I mean, he was stepping in, but we were both starting to lose it. So like every time Katie Bell was like, "I don't." There's nothing we can do.
Yeah. Yeah.
We can't go backwards. We can't go forwards. All we can do is just keep walking. So, and you know, right at the end of the trail, Ellis falls, like scratches his knees. Thank God I had Band-Aids. And we fight, you know, like you're coming out and like you realize then that you've got the whole other mile back. And like, I was like, oh, there's some sort of like ye old time soda machine. Like we all got Gatorades and like it was
good.
fucking hell.
Yeah.
And then we all got in the car. It was like one of those things where you're like in it. And you're like, this is a fail.
This, yeah.
And it's happening. Sucks. It's happening right now.
Yeah.
And all you can do is get through it.
Yeah.
It was the worst.
I'm so sorry. That sounds horrible.
It was really awful, yeah. Guys.
Yeah.
It was, ugh.
From one bad mother to another, I thought I'd share a fail. It's just one of those mornings. I forgot in the lunch boxes to pack the drinks and the ice packs. So as soon as my 5-year-old realized that I had forgotten these items, she started bawling her eyes out in the car. And I lose it when they lose it. And started screaming at her that that's not a way to solve it, that doesn't fix anything. And started to do a U-turn. And because I was so wrapped up in telling her to stop crying, I almost killed us by pulling out in front of someone. And so I was like, okay, let's reel it in, take it down a notch. And then in the preschool parking lot, I thought, oh, I forgot to leave the check for the week. So I started to turn around, and then I'm like, oh, and I forgot my sunglasses. I'm like literally doing slow motion donuts in the preschool parking lot. I just don't know how to get it together. Thanks for listening.
I feel like that's my life.
Yeah.
Like I just
keep going in circles, picking up the thing that I have forgotten.
I don't understand. I mean, all the stuff we're supposed to keep track of.
Yeah.
It's impossible.
It's
actually impossible. You're going to forget stuff every day.
Every day. The new normal. We should revisit the new normal again.
Yeah.
Just constantly spitting.
Yep.
Never going to be able to do anything successfully again. Sorry about your new life.
Sorry about your new life. Is that like a new parenting book that's going to come out for
Sorry
like, new
about
parents?
Your new life. Well, you're doing a horrible job, just like the rest of us, Mom.
Yep.
You are the greatest mom I've ever known. I love you, I love you. When I have a problem, I call you on the phone. I love you, I love you.
We have a Jumbotron this week. This message is for Catherine Preble, and it's from Katrina H., Aaron I., Leanne D., Meredith P., Sarah K., Paula, Ariel, Aaron G., Christina M., Catherine L., and Gail B.
That is a party right there.
Yeah. A birthday party, perhaps?
Perhaps. Let's see what their message is. Catherine, we secretly got together to wish you a very happy birthday on this Jumbotron. We wanted you to know how special you are to us. We count on you to make the group and subgroups more interesting. All of the broiled grapefruits and brownies for you. We love you. Love your friends and the best Facebook groups on earth. And from us, too, happy birthday, Catherine. Well, we didn't have a guest today. You know, so we monopolize the time talking about the emotional needs of our children that we may or may not be meeting successfully. I can tell if I am when they aren't screaming. Mm-hmm. I've somehow emotionally met their needs.
Yeah.
I'm winning at that moment. Mm-hmm. So we're going to move on to the guest that we love the most of all. And that is you, a mom having a breakdown.
Hi, One Bad Mother. This is a rant. My husband's job means that we live 3,000 miles away from our friends and family. And it also means that he's not home from work every night. And tomorrow is my birthday. And, of course, the toddler doesn't care. He doesn't know tomorrow is my birthday. And he's just going to throw his food on the floor and be aggressive with our new kitten and spit in my face and get a cold. And I just want to sit down with a hard cider and have someone here know that it's my birthday tomorrow and maybe even see my husband. And I just feel like that's not too much to ask. And I want the universe to give it to me. I do have the dishwasher and the laundry going, though, so at least I feel like I'm getting something done. All right. Thanks for letting me rant. I love you guys. Bye.
birthdays are the fucking worst.
Yeah.
I mean, when you, with little kids. Yeah, I mean, it's like, really it's like such a thing that, like, just go, we talked about it before on the show.
Yeah.
It just goes by the wayside right away. Yeah. It just becomes, like, not the top priority. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and it feels like weird to demand it to be a top priority. And it, you know, I mean, because like life just happens and there's just, you can't always celebrate it the day that you want to. And usually you feel like you're the one who have to put a lot of effort into your own birthday. And like it just becomes like a weird thing that happens in your life suddenly. And it is really hard. And like, I related so much to her when she was like, I just want somebody to know it's my birthday. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't want to, this is just not how I want to be spending my birthday.
Yeah.
And you're
being 3,000 miles away from your friends and family is really, that just is such an added layer. You know.
Yeah, you can't even
disappointment
like,
about, you know, you can't celebrate the way you want to celebrate. And
that's right. And I think there's something about birthdays that like, is one of those things you want to be able to sell. You want to do it exactly right because it should be this one normal thing that happens in your life after you go through all these changes with kids and things feel so out of control. I think there's this weird importance of, I need this birthday to be a birthday. I need it to be this thing that resembles every other birthday before it somehow. We all know how this is supposed to work. Mm-hmm. Wake up. Everybody says happy birthday. There's a cake or a nice dinner or like whatever. Again, more people saying happy birthday. Maybe weird balloons show up. I don't know. Depends on if you're working in an office or not. Again, more opportunities for cake. There are some presents. Somebody sings. Everybody tells you that they love you. And your birthday is done. Right? Like that is...
Yeah.
Those are the elements that are supposed to happen on your birthday, and lots of times it just doesn't, with or without kids. And it's really, I don't know, it's an expectation that I feel we deserve to have met, and it sucks when we can't meet it. Mm-hmm. And I am sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry too.
That is really hard. You are doing a really good job.
You're doing an amazing job.
Teresa, what did we learn today? That I am emotionally crippled from having children?
I feel like we did some purging today a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, it feels good to just talk about it for me.
Yeah.
It is like, it's that nobody gives a shit thing where it's just day in and day out. This is what we're dealing with right now in our homes and out in the world. And this is, it's hard every day. And it's really draining, and it is kind of a big deal, like, to us.
Yeah.
But there isn't, like, that much to really report. Like, I'm not going to, like, call, you know, I don't know who I, like, call up to be like, well, Oscar had a tantrum, like, all morning. I mean,
no one
know
wants
I mean?
To hear about your tantrum. I mean, that's,
I
like,
mean, there's
you,
something, yeah.
You
it's
purposely,
like, well, yeah, you have a two-year-old, so.
You purposely don't call people when your kid's having a tantrum.
True.
Right? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not like, it's not that they want to hear about, you know, the thing they did at school or the new word or the new
or something funny.
Yeah, or something funny. No one gives a shit.
Our kids need to have funnier tantrums so that we can like report on them.
That would be great.
As funny stories.
Bring your tantrum A game, Ellis. I'm gonna need you to up it.
Come on.
Yeah. More physical comedy and less physical harming yourself. Because what you're doing now is not very funny. No, I think you're right. I think this just is a whole show that is a reminder that this is really hard.
Yeah.
And no one really may give a shit. And that's actually not okay. And that we should just really be nice to people all the time.
Yeah.
Because it may not be your 2.5-year-old. It might be your 3-year-old. It might be your 1-year-old. It might be your 8-year-old. Whatever. Kids are very difficult. They are really draining on you. Everybody is lucky that people with kids are not running around punching other adults just in the face for no reason. You know what I mean? Like, I want fucking plastic. Boom. You know what I mean? Like, the fact that we function even as a society at all is remarkable. So everybody, the big takeaway is you are really doing a great job. Just get through this. You can fix it when they're 5, I think. I'm hoping. Speaking of doing a good job, we have a couple of meetups this week that we want to tell you about. The first is One Bad Parents are hosting a Triangle Area North Carolina meetup. July 23rd at noon in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. All One Bed people and kids welcome and encouraged. Bring your own lunch and snacks. For more information about the location, those interested can check out the OBM-NC subgroup on Facebook. So just search for that on Facebook. The One Bed parents and nannies of the D.C. metro area, we're just reminding you guys, will be holding a kid-free brunch on Saturday, July 9th at 10:30 a.m. Those interested in attending or who want more information can join the One Bad Mother DC Facebook page and read about the event posted there. Reservations are going to be needed, so please make sure you join the group and RSVP. Finally, we've got a meetup scheduled in Kansas City, Missouri on Sunday, July 10th at 11 a.m. at Penguin Park. People can join the People can join the OBM Kansas City subgroup if they would like additional info. Good job getting together and hanging out with parents and nannies who are, I don't know, living the One Bad Parent lifestyle of less judging, more laughing, and just want to be around somebody who doesn't care that your kid's having a tantrum in the middle of the park. Good job.
Yeah, great job, guys.
Really.
Keep it up.
Yeah. Other things that you can do to support the One Bad Mother community and the show is you can find our public or private Facebook group and join. You can follow us on Twitter at One Bad Mothers. That's got an S on the end. Or at Teresa Thorne or at Biz Ellis. You can go over to iTunes and like us and write a review. That's really helpful in, I don't know, making the iTunes universe find us a show that is important to the world. You gotta get liked to get important, guys.
You can get a weekly affirmation from us. We'll tell you what a good job you're doing in an email with a link to the new show that week. All you have to do is go to MaximumFun.org, click on One Bad Mother, and the link to our mailing list is in every episode post there. And you should be sure to send us an email if you have an idea for a guest or a show topic. We are at OneBadMother@MaximumFun.org. You can also purchase a personal or commercial message on the show, just like you heard earlier on in this very episode. Just go to MaximumFun.org/Jumbotron.
Everybody, you guys are doing a remarkable job. We are like almost to the halfway mark of summer. Okay, we're almost there, guys. All kind of exciting things on the horizon for some sense of normalcy coming at us in like a month and a half, give or take, depending on your school system and when they feel it's important to put kids back in school. So everybody, you are doing a really great job.
Yeah, you are.
Teresa?
Yes.
You are doing a great job, and it is so nice to be back in this booth with you.
Thanks, Biz. You're doing an awesome job, too, and I'm so glad you're home.
Thank you. And we're not going to talk to you guys next week because
right.
We are taking a little summer vacation
yep.
for the 4th of July holiday.
And this is actually our last week with our amazingly wonderful audio engineer, Iberian X Perello, who is the production fellow at Maximum Fun. And he's been running the boards for us for almost a year.
Yeah, his very first episode to sit in was Miscarriage.
Oh.
Which point
we were like, welcome
to One Bad Mother. And we didn't break him then.
Yeah.
And I will be very sad to see him go.
Yeah, he's the best.
He
we're
is
totally going to miss him. So thank you, Iberian X.
Thank you. We will talk to you guys in 2 weeks.
Bye.
Bye.
I got to low down mama blue. I got to low down mama blues. Got to low down mama blue. Low down mama blue. Got to low down mama blue. Got to low down mama blues. You know that right.
We'd like to thank Max Fun, Lindsay Pavlis, our engineer, our husbands Stefan Lawrence and Jesse Thorne, our perfect children who provide us with inspiration to say all these horrible things, and of course, you, our listeners. To find out more about the songs you heard on today's podcast and more about the show, please go to MaximumFun.org.
One Bad Mother is a member of the Maximum Fun family of podcasts. To support the show, visit MaximumFun.org and click on Donate.
Do you have a genius or fail moment you'd like to share on the show? Then leave us a message at 206-350-9485. Full-on rage-induced rants are also welcome.
fuss and fight, got low down mama blues. Oh, said daddy, baby, fuss and fight, got low down mama blues.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.